Good morning. I want to say something right off the top. I want you to forgive me for not standing during worship. I'm having some challenges with my foot. And after standing for the whole first service and then standing while I was ministering the first service, it kind of flared up, and y'all pray for me. One thing for sure, I still look better than Kevin. I'm a little bit of a different kind of guy, Pastor. I like to sing before I minister. Y'all please forgive me as I get this song out. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. We added this at New Direct. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. If you know you serve a great God, put your hands together. I serve a great God, you know, and even in God's greatness, we still have challenges. Even in God's greatness, we still have battles that we have to endure. In our walk with Jesus, we are often engaged in battles. Some of those battles are brought on by our decisions. And we need to stop being Steve Urkel talking about, did I do that? No. Yes, you did. Yeah, it was you. It was your decision. But some of the battles that, you know, we face, they're brought by decisions of other people. Many of us have fought battles in our family. You fought for wayward children. Maybe you have fought for in the battle of infidelity. Maybe you have fought a battle because your family doesn't understand your faith. Maybe you have some internal battles. Let's be honest, that some people deal with depression, loneliness, sickness, low self-esteem, not ever believing that you are enough. And can I pause in my sermon? Just look at somebody real quick and tell them, you are enough. You're special. Sometimes people have not heard anything positive in a long time. Sometimes we need just to hear, you're enough. I appreciate the God in you. I appreciate who you are in my life. Let me keep going because I'm sorry. I am who I am. Maybe you're engaged in a spiritual battle. You have a sense of oppression of the enemy at your workplace. It just seems like they got something against you. You want to overcome grief, but it seems like it has a chokehold on you. It seems like it's a stronghold over your life. You know, all of the above, we all have different issues, problems, and challenges, and it seems as if we are in the battle of our lives. Maybe it's just me. Maybe this sermon is for me. But sometimes it seems like the battle is getting the best of us. Seem like we're not winning. You know, you ever felt like it ain't coming together? But I'm coming to tell somebody on today, all the way from Buffalo, New York, that I come to decree and declare into somebody's life is that we all have battles, but you can't have a victory without a battle. For those that take notes, you know, the battle that you're facing may be different from any of the above mentioned, but you have no idea what people are going through, and the battle and how to handle the battle is always a tricky place to be in. As we pick up the story of Joshua in the day, we see that Joshua regularly engaged in battles. He has some stuff. He always had some stuff going on. The nation of Israel was just crossed the Jordan River. That's a victory. That's miraculous. They saw the miraculous of the water spreading. They saw that. Somebody write this down if you don't mind. Even after the miraculous, you still can walk into a battle. Even after you have a high on a Monday, on a Tuesday, you can have a low. The story of the very beginning of Israel's time in the Promised Land can be described just like this. The tale of three battles. Mm-hmm. Two went in Israel's favor. You see how I kind of gave you a hint? That was like a little teaser. And the other one, well, let's just understand that was a disaster. As we examine Joshua's battles, we can draw parallels to our own struggles and learn from his experiences to navigate our own challenges. So as we pick up in the book of Joshua, Israel was just crossed the Jordan River, and the mighty city of Jericho was in its sight. And this is a big city. This is a walled city. This is a big place. This is a fortress. This is something that we ain't supposed to, you know, go up against. We're supposed to let them do what they're going to do. But here come God. Telling you to do something that seems impossible. And that's when we get into a place that we can only trust God in. So let's deal with this first battle. The first battle is found in Joshua. The invitation in Joshua chapter 5 verses 13 through 15. It says this. When Joshua was near. Somebody say near. Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or are you an enemy?" Now that's something that we got to get straight now. Are you a Bills fan? You know, anybody ever ask a new neighbor, listen, I need to know, is you a friend or a foe? Are you a Bills fan? I don't want to see no Cowboys stuff out here. I don't want to see no Patriots stuff out here. Don't start nothing. No Dolphins. Squish the fish. Smack them in the face. I'm sorry. I got carried away. But he trying to figure out, are you a friend or are you a foe? Y'all got it. Come on. He said, are you with me or you're not? Neither, he replied. But as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. See, the battle presents Joshua as a bold. The Bible presents Joshua as this bold and assertive leader. who often questions and give his opinion in unexpected situations. In this particular instance, Joshua confronts the visitor and demands proper identification before allowing him to enter into the camp. The visitor is identified, watch this, as the commander of the army of the Lord, a title that is also used to refer to God himself in other places in the Old Testament. Watch this, despite his initial boldness, Joshua ultimately follows the instructions, highlighting his complete obedience to God. Now, I don't know about y'all, but we need to learn how to have complete obedience. That's the hard part, right? That's the complete obedience. Because there's this thing inside of us called humans that we still think that the kingdom of God is like Burger King and we can have it our way. I thought that. So prior to the battle, we see Joshua face down in reverence before God. Understand this, for those that take notes, somebody write this down. Joshua worships God. That means he recognized that God is first in his life. He's putting God in his proper place above everything. The second thing is Joshua is in awe of God. King James, when they built, I believe it's St. Paul's Cathedral, he walked into it and said, "This is awful." See, now that I know that sounds crazy because of our 21st century use of awful, which means bad. But then awful meant full of awe. He stands in awe of God. And can I be honest with you? Sometimes when we get full of ourselves, we lose the awe of God. When we think it's us that have achieved these things that we done got in our lives, we lose the awe of God. And now we're in awe of ourselves. Oh, I'm all that, a bag of chips, a Tic Tac for your breath. I'm in the wrong church. Yeah, you can thank you all that, but I'm nothing without God. The Bible teaches us that it's in him that we live, we move, and we have our being. So I can't do nothing without God. Somebody shout, nothing without God. Yeah, and we also see that Joshua follows God's instructions. The instructions that Joshua received are not what Joshua would dream up on his own. I'm just here to tell you, this ain't something that Joshua would have thought about. Y'all want proof? Let's read the Bible. Let's read the Bible. It's there for us. Joshua chapter number 6, verse number 2 through 5. Watch what the Bible says. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands." Now, if I had, if I was in like a revival and I was going to come back tonight and preach, I would just preach that verse because that verse is so powerful. It says, "See, I have given you." That means it's already done. What I... Let's see, I have already given you. Y'all see that? I've given you. Oh, yes. I'm the only one that saw it. Then the Lord said unto Joshua, maybe let me read it again in this case, because I'm the only one that saw it. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered," that means he's already given, "Jericho into your hand." Okay, I'm happy by myself. I understand. "Along with its king, I've given you his king and his fighting men. March around the city." Listen to these instructions. This sounds stupid. He said, "March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this 6 days." You ain't supposed to say nothing. Not boo. I'm about to tear you up. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's what we, you know what I'm saying? Y'all ever got in a fight and you had to do all that talking even though you know you couldn't talk? Make a move. Watch what happened. Knowing good and well, you can't even fight. He told them to walk around the city 7 times. On 6 days, say nothing. And on the seventh, have 7 priests carrying trumpets of rams in front of the ark. On the 7th day, what we doing again? We marching still. This sounds stupid. I want you to march around the city 7 times on the 7th day in the heat. No umbrellas, no shade, no hats, no fans, no nothing. And when you hear the sound of the long blast of the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. This don't seem doable. Let me put the plan in the way I see it. Walk and shout. He ain't said nothing about no swords. He ain't said nothing about no cannons. He didn't say nothing. There was no strategy to me that seemed like we about to go in here and tear this place up. We ain't even walked in. You said that we're going to walk and shout, and the walls, these thick, huge walls of Jericho, are going to fall down. Yeah, I don't see it. Anybody else here? And not only is Joshua believing this, he has to now get everyone else to buy in on this. Hey, y'all, we're going to march. The secret to success at Jericho was not Joshua's military genius or his army skill or the numbers or how strong they was or what equipment and battle knowledge they had. It had to do because they trusted God and they obeyed his command. What God literally did was took them out of the equation. So that you can never say, by my might of my hand has gotten me this victory. It had to be God. The scripture tells us in Joshua chapter number 6, verse number 24, it says this. It says, then they burned the whole city and everything in it. Sound like victory to me. So everything needed to be destroyed. Nothing was to be saved. You know, this was like a holy destruction. You know, the sin associated with Jericho was so disturbing that God didn't want it to enter into the hands of the children of Israel. Somebody shout influence. We have to be very careful of what influences us. We are kingdom people. And we can't always listen to every. Okay, let me keep going because y'all looking at me funny. So what do we learn about this first battle? Write this down. It should be on the screen. Watch this. God's ways are better than our ways. This can be a tough reality for us to grasp. You know, I fall into this, you know, some trap, you know, of believing every once in a while in my crazy mind, I got this. But that is never the case. God's ways are always better than our ways. How we raise our families, God's ways are always better than our ways. How we navigate life with our spouse, God's way is always better than our ways. How we interact with people at work, in our community, at the Tim Hortons, we ain't cussing them out because they taking the. We ain't wailing on the horn. Move it, I gotta go. Come on. And then we got a revive bumper sticker. Come on. Honk if you love Jesus. Following Israel's first victory, you can almost hear Joshua and the people saying, we got this. There's a level of confidence that they begin to have. Why? Because they won. We have to be careful with the victories in life that we still put all of our confidence and trust in God and not in us. Because it was God that gave us the victory. How many people believe that? So now watch this. The Bible goes on to say in Joshua chapter number 7 verses 1 through 3. Because this, you know what I'm saying, something done popped off. You know, the Bible says, but then the Israelites were unfaithful in regards to the devoted things, the things that they wasn't supposed to touch. Achan went and grabbed some stuff. And the Bible says that Achan, not only did he grab some stuff, but he hid it. And then he covered it up. And then he's lying about it. I'm in the wrong church. Y'all act like we ain't high. It's in us, whether we believe it or not. I got to move so fast today. You got to recognize that our children automatically know that when wrong is wrong, even as a baby. What do you have in your hand? Nothing. So it's in us. We want stuff that we don't need or that we have been told we can't have. I love the TikTok videos of how many dog families do we have here? Got some, dogs. Now, I want y'all to know something. Please don't invite me to the barbecue because I'm scared of dogs. So watch what ends up happening. Every time I see these TikToks where they told the dog, stay here, don't eat the snacks until I come back. Do they listen? Well, the dog don't listen, but I've seen parents do it to the children as well. And the children fail. The things that we're not supposed to have, the wicked, the evil, the sin, nature that's inside of us. Crazy. I'm diabetic. I'm not supposed to have. Don't say no sugar, just say limit. Come on, don't say no. What kind of friend are you? She said no sugar. Lord, I don't. And she was a greeter. Lord Jesus. I don't feel welcome no more. But watch this. So they said, let's just send two or 3,000 people. They're gonna go up, and what they're gonna do is they're going to fight. But the Bible says they went up there and they lost some men. Unbeknownst to Joshua, sin had entered Israel. And if Joshua had known this, he may not have gone to battle. So without knowledge, Joshua devised a plan without seeking the counsel of God. Because now he thinks that there's something that they're not. You got to, the Bible teaches, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. How many people have ever sat up in there in your car and you got the GPS and you don't listen to the little lady's voice? Because you think you know the way. And now you're lost. How are you lost with God's positioning system, which is the Holy Spirit? How are you lost when if we would just pause and listen to God's direction, we will be where we're supposed to be? So they done blew it. Somebody said they blew it. Yep, they blew it. They blew it. So the Bible says in verse 4 through 7, it says, so about 3,000 men went up there and they were routed by Israel. They whooped their butts. 36 men died. Watch this. I got to keep moving. The sin of one man had adversely impacted the entire nation. The sin, I want you to understand, it ain't going to hurt nobody. I did it at night. No, the sin of one man had literally damaged an entire nation. It impacted them. The confidence that they had experienced just in that battle of Jericho is now gone. Joshua had fallen on his face once before when he was confronted with the divine messenger, but this time is different. This time when he falls on his face, it is defeat and shame. Joshua goes on to share his fear that the name of Israel will disappear from the land. Watch this. Here, name referred to fame and reputation. That God, because of this failure, your reputation is going to be tainted. Joshua now, you know, he knows that they done messed up. And he knows that something is wrong. It's kind of like me. I'm only talking about me. I don't know what y'all do, brothers. I've been known to look at the picture on the box and try to put stuff together. And then when I try to put a book on the bookshelf, and there's a few nails and nuts and washers still on the ground, but it still looked like the picture. And as soon as I put something on the shelf, the whole thing just collapsed. Because I refuse to follow instructions. And anytime you don't follow instructions, whatever you're trying to build, As Joshua and the elders are face down on the ground before the ark, watch this of the Lord. Here, this is what he hears. Watch this, verse number 10 through 12, chapter 7 of Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. Get up. What are you doing on the ground on your face? Israel have sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen, they have lied, they have put them with their own possession. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. The Lord spoke so sternly because that's what he feels about sin. Tell him to stand up. Stop lying down on the floor on your face in despair. He explains that the reason for their recent defeat was not due to God's action. It's not that God could not have defeated Ai. God wasn't with them. Somebody that take notes, write this down. Quit demanding God to work on stuff that he never gave you clearance to do. Sometimes we want God to back up our actions when he did not give us permission to do it. Yes. Amen. There are so many times in my life, I've been pastoring 21 years, and there are so many times that I did things, and I just said, oh, we can do it. Oh, we can do it. I didn't pray. I didn't seek God. How many times have we done things that we did not pray? We got room up here. Come on. Come on. How y'all doing?
My apologies.
Oh, you fine. You fine. Try to make sure you got a good seat. That's all. That's all. How you doing?
Hey, man.
How you doing, man?
I'm going to go say hi to my dad.
Okay, say hi to dad. He's been here since like 7:30. You know, so he want to say hi to dad. You know what I'm saying? So what, the fat preacher up there preaching? Watch this. Israel lost. Somebody shout, Israel lost. Israel lost due to sin. They violated his ways. As a result, they were defeated. The hidden sin, come on, in your life can have the same effect on the people closest to you. Have your sins affected the people around you? I got to get out of here. Sin has a ripple effect. The little infidelity that you thought you wasn't going to hurt nobody can cause divorce and cause children to go through counseling and pain. The little thing that you thought was nothing that you were doing in the dark, but I heard what's done in the dark will come out in the light. There's the little things can actually end up crippling your family. Help us, Holy Ghost. What sin do you have buried in your heart? What don't you think? And if you're fooling everybody around you, let me tell you something. I got a secret. Somebody say, share it. Y'all some nosy people. Y'all just want my secret. Even when you have people fooled, you don't have God fooled. God, see, I mean, this was the problem in Joshua's day, and it's the same issue today when we think we know better than God, and we throw God's plan out and do what we want to do. Come on. We forgot already that God's ways are better than our ways. Come on. But then there's another battle. Here's a third battle. Somebody said there's a third battle. So you got to recognize something, that the good news is that this is not the end of the story. I wish I had somebody that can get excited, that even though you may feel like you're failing right now, that ain't the end of your story. There is a to be continued. I don't know about nobody else, but there's a to be continued in your life. It may look bad. It may look hard. It may look rough. It seems like the battles of life is challenging, but it's not the end. God got you. How many people believe that God got me? There's a song that we sing that if he did it before, he'll do it again. The same God right now is the same God back then. God got your back. I I'm sorry, I ain't supposed to yell at the Wesleyan church. Y'all forgive me, I got happy. Made me feel like I was on Fillmore for a minute. I get excited when people start having hope in hopeless situations. I get excited when people that felt like their life had no meaning, all of a sudden God shines a light and now their eyes is open and now they have hope in their life. I'm sorry, I get excited. My brother-in-law, you know, I love him, but he tells me, he said, I can't go to your church. You yell too much. I said, I yell too much. He said, yeah, you get all excited and you be yelling and screaming. I said, oh, my bad. I'm sorry. I try to do better. I don't know what to say. So then he was at my house for a football game. Man, he jumped up at a touchdown, popcorn everywhere, spilled drinks on my floor. I said, hold it. You ain't got to yell. It's just a touchdown. But what Jesus did for me is better than a touchdown. When he took my black, dirty heart. If you knew that I was on my way to hell and God came in my life and gave me meaning and gave me purpose and redeemed me with his blood. I'm sorry, I'm still yelling. I'm sorry. Let me quit. Y'all tell Kevin, don't invite him back. So God had to, battle three, I got to get out of here. Battle three is this, is that in chapter 8, verse number 1 and 2, then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you. Remember, Joshua's plan was just take 2 or 3,000? God's plan is take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai. For I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. Watch what I'm going to do. You shall do to Ai and his kings as you did to Jericho and his king. You're going to win, except that you may carry off their plunder and livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the city. Once again, God has given Joshua the battle plan. And when he follows God's battle plan, he has victory against Ai. And I ain't talking about artificial intelligence. You got to follow God in order to have success. We see the impact of one person's choice to disobey the Lord has upon others. It has an effect on others. Achan's disobedience resulted in defeat for all and the death of many. I believe this can be parallel and be a teaching opportunity for many times because we falsely think that our disobedience or our sin is not hurting anyone else. We think that what we do is not hurting anybody. But the truth of the matter is, it is. And I don't want to be the cause of someone's fall or someone losing a battle because of me. Lord, forgive me if I ever thought that I can do it on my own. There is carnage when we sin. Our relationship with God is damaged. Our relationship with people are strained. Our positive impact on the community, come on. It's damaged. Whew. But I don't care where you are. I want you to understand this. God's ways are better than our ways. I don't care where you are in life. I don't care what battle you in. Can I share this with you? And I'll go to my seat. I don't care where you are in your battle. There's a to be continued. So many times, how many people ever looked at something and said, this is it, and we overthink situations and we just get so rattled by stuff? Can I tell you something? Calm down. Get in the presence of God. Watch what happens. God begins to speak to us in our battle. And his words of encouragement. Did you see how he told Joshua? Get up off the floor. Stand up. Don't be afraid. Be encouraged. Well, I'm going to say those same words to you. If you feel like you're in a losing situation, get up off the floor. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I'm going to give you Ai the same way I gave you Jericho. I'm going to heal you of this the same way I healed you of that. You're going to overcome this the same way you overcame that. Watch what the text is saying. It's literally saying, I've proven myself to you. How many people need hope right now? Some people are in the battle because there's three times. There's three phases in life. We're either in a battle, just got out of a battle, or we're on our way into a battle. But I want to pray for each and every one of us that no matter where you are, you might be in it. I pray that God will speak to you so that you can have hope in that battle. That we will get to the place that we'll learn to dance in the rain. We'll praise God in the midst of the storm. There's an old song we used to sing when we was kids. Don't wait till the battle's over. Shout now. Well, maybe you just got out of a battle and you're in a season of peace. Shouldn't we just give God glory because he brought us out of that last battle? And if there's a battle that is brewing and you can see it, stay in God's face and ask the Lord to give you the strength to face your battle. Because here's the crazy thing about a battle. After a battle, after a storm, we become stronger. Our faith is renewed and strengthened. Our outlook on life is changed. Because we went into a battle and God brought us out. The tale of three battles. The common denominator in the victories was they obey God. The one failure is when they didn't obey God. Every head is bowed. Father, I don't know where we are individually on today, but we're all facing something. Some are in the worst season of their life, but they came to the house of worship. Some people just got out of some stuff. They still have some battle wounds from the last battle. But God, I pray that you will patch them up, heal them. Not just physically, there's some emotional wounds. I sense right now the emotional battle scars. The psychological damage of the last battle. God, I pray that you heal right now. And God, if there's someone that's in it, God, I pray that you will strengthen them, protect them, show them the lesson that they need from that battle, that storm. And God, let them be renewed and strengthened by it. And God, we thank you and we give you glory. We surrender to the awesome will of you, our Father, the sovereign King. And we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.